to us from John 3:16 and 17. I see some familiar faces there that might know what this is. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How many people noticed the addition to the altar table today? You can raise your hand on this question. Yeah, not very many probably. We have such a beautiful cross here. Some did not mention this. You know, if you go into most churches and grab this cross off the altar, what happens? You get hollered at. People go, the whole congregation, I can't believe you took Aunt Martha's cross off that table. It's been there for 100 years. We worship that cross every Sunday. Ooh, we worship the cross. Well, it's good from time to time to take that cross off the altar and to hold it and feel what it feels like. Might be a little heavy. So we'll talk today a little bit about the cross. So look now at the cross. What do you see there? It's empty now. Rhetorical question, sweetheart. It's empty now. It's shiny, even this one's shiny. But this one's shiny. It's smooth to the touch. It's cool. It is heavy. Of course, we've all been told that to pick up our own cross, and it might be a little bit heavy. This one looks like it might be made of gold, have some value to it. But do you know what was there? Christ crucified was there. And it was an ugly sight. A man who just hours before had washed the feet of his friends, and that was the task of a servant in those days, and the lowest ranking of the servants at that. A man who begged his friends to stay awake and pray with him, but found them unable, unwilling to pay the price. A man who knew his horrific fate, who sweat blood praying that he be released from the pain, from the embarrassment, from the sickening reality of what was about to happen. This man who drew crowds like none other before him, who they called teacher, who seemingly had infinite patience with people, and especially those 12 closest to him. This man who talked of love and healed the sick, the dumb, and the lame, who encouraged others and gave them hope. This man who stretched out his arms to little children that they might be permitted to come to him and to sit with him and to talk with him and be loved by him. This man who called himself the Son of God hung on that cross. Oh, and it was not just that he endured that alone, that he was abandoned by his friends, those who swore their allegiance and faithfulness to him just a short time before. Alone he faced the derision of those who he came to save. Alone he was left to answer questions, the answers to which no one would understand. Alone did he carry the crossbeam of that ugly, rough-cut cross through the city, over the bumpy cobblestone roads that with each bump the tree seemed so much heavier. Up the dusty path he carried it, the path that choked the remaining air from his lungs and caked on his parched, split lips, up the hill to Calvary. This man who felt the loneliness of his fate, who felt the acid lies of those accusers' tongues, who felt the agony of the whip and the tearing of his flesh from the bits of metal that were in the leather of the whip, this man who felt the fists of those who taunted him, the cold dampness of the night on his naked and torn and bruised and bleeding body. This man who by the time they got to pounding in the nails, no thick, rusty spikes. By the time it came to lifting that rough, splintered tree, by the time they felt it drop hard into the hole that would hold it up, by then he was exhausted. Perhaps bewildered, maybe confused. It was so abhorrent to creation that the sun was so embarrassed it hid its face behind the shroud of billowing dark clouds. The earth, anxious and fearful, became so ill that she threw up her dead. And hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, it seemed that only one person recognized this man for who he was. It was a thief. Oh, another of the poor and downcast of the earth who recognized him. You know, it started at his birth. He was announced first to the worst of society, the shepherds. It seems a mark that he bore the rest of his life. Proclaimed to be King of Kings, he didn't eat with kings. Rather, he invited himself to the homes of tax collectors to eat with them. He did not shop the city streets with the rich and famous, or hobnob with high government officials. Instead, he spent his time with whores and lepers and beggars. He spent his time with the blind and the lame from birth, and even met with Samaritans of all people. He stopped the parade at the touch of the needy. He told stories that spoke of simple everyday things that helped people understand the law. Love. Love God and love your neighbor was his message. Oh, and unlike the Pharisees and Sadducees, this man lived what he taught. Oh, and he acted it out. He put into action what he believed, and he expected others to do the same thing. Well, this day, one person, a thief, understood in whose presence he was in. Only one understood the wrong that had been committed, and even though he knew himself deserving of the punishment that he was receiving, only this one person looked at this man in the eye and asked that he be remembered when this man came into his kingdom. Christ hung on that cross and died. Christ hung on that cross and died until death died. Why is it that the poor, the down, the out, get it and others don't? Why is it that only when we are trampled by life and all the misery it has to offer, that only then can we look into the eyes of Jesus and confess our sins and promise to repent and love? Why do we have to be slapped in the face so hard that we get knocked down to our knees before we can come to Christ? Why must we be crushed and beaten so as to have no other hope before we can see the cross and know deep down within us, deep down where we don't usually go, that we haven't really been seeing that cross with that man hanging on it, alone, himself crying out to God? Look at the cross. It's empty now. See what God has done for us. That man is no longer there. Those few who stayed with him at the cross took him down from that cross and tenderly carried him to a borrowed tomb. They slowly, painfully, tearfully laid him in the cave. But even they had to abandon him there to take care of their worldly duties. They could not finish preparing the body for death because they must go and tend to the things that were more important to them. Even then, the very day that he died for us, people could not give him what he deserved, what even was even due him. They put him on hold. They paid superficial respect that day. They took him from the cross, but they had much more important things to do. Oh, surely no one would expect them to give up their soccer match. Surely no one would expect them on the day that one day that they had to hit the links to chase that golf ball around and probably raise their blood pressure. Even then, at his death, there were other things to be done. Practices to attend, sleep to catch up on, a sunny, beautiful day to enjoy. Oh, family and friends come in for the weekend. Oh, we used to make him go to church. Even in death, this man was not given what even the common thief was due, a burial. Oh, back when he was alive, there was one who worshipped him, remember? She came to him and washed his feet, poured the most expensive perfume over him, and tenderly rubbed his feet dry with her own silky, soft hair. Oh, even while she was doing that, the disciples were astounded. such waste of expensive perfume? Didn't she need that money for a bigger house? More things to take up her idle time to keep her from Sunday school and church? And now that she gave so much to him, would she have enough to send the kids to college? Or to buy more cars or more toys? How can she do such a foolish thing as to give so much to this man, our Savior? But scorned as she was, she knew. She knew what it was due this man. She knew that all that she had, every breath that she took, each ray of sunlight that she felt on her face, each time she looked at a beautiful flower, she knew that it was his and that he shared it with her because he loved her. And perhaps she was disappointed, even sad that she could not give more. Well, the rest of her story is not told, but I think and I have to believe that she was blessed and blessed greatly for her willing gift to the one that she loved. We do know that she is mentioned wherever the gospel is told. Jesus spoke to his disciples through the sweet fragrance of the perfume. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial, but she didn't save it. She didn't hoard it. She didn't make excuses for not giving it. She just did it. She did a beautiful thing for me. She did all that she could. And I think she was blessed for it. So now, having been anointed before his death, he lay waiting for people to come back from their worldly responsibilities. And maybe that's why he wasn't there when the burial party returned. Maybe he got tired of waiting for them to fit him into their schedule. Maybe he tired of waiting for them to return to him what was his all along. Well, maybe. But that's not really my belief. See, I believe the good news. I believe that Jesus the Christ died for us while we were yet sinners to free us from our sin as he was risen from the grave and going to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we are given. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are given. We are given whatever we pray for. We're given our life, each breath, the beauty of the day, the cool and refreshing rain, the people in our lives that mean so much to us. He gave us what we needed to get the job that we have that supports us and those that we love. He gave us the long life and to enjoy retirement. And he gave us eyes to see and ears to hear and the mouth and tongue and lips to speak. And he gave us the arms to hold that precious child. So let us speak our faith. In fact, let's shout it from the mountaintop. Speak it to our neighbor. Speak it to our co-worker, to our classmates. Speak it to our friends. Speak our faith to our enemies, those easy to love and those who hate us. Look again at the cross. See there, as you look at it this time, the body of our risen Lord. See there the life of our faith, the hope of our salvation, the giver of all that we have. Look at the cross. See its wonder. Feel its power. See his church and through his church minister to those who are in need. Hold the cross in your arms. Hold it close to your heart. And as you do that and the tears roll down your cheeks, know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.